Welcome back to another episode of GivePod, Greater Vancouver's business podcast, where we delve into the challenges and opportunities facing our region. I'm your host, Bridget Anderson, CEO and President of the Greater Vancouver Board of Trade. Our series on the future of work and mental health in the workplace has been eye-opening. We ventured through discussions on revolutionary work models and the importance of mental well-being in fostering productive, engaging, and innovative workplaces. Today, in the final episode of this series, we are focusing on the broader trends shaping our workplaces and what businesses can do to navigate these changes successfully. Joining us is Carolyn Rush, who leads PwC's Workforce of the Future practice. Under her guidance, PwC has been at the forefront of addressing the dynamic changes in the workplace, from technological disruptions to the shifting paradigms of employee engagement and mental health. With her expertise, we'll explore practical strategies for businesses to not only survive, but thrive by embracing change and prioritizing the well-being of workforces. Carolyn, welcome to GivePod. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too, and thanks so much for having me here.
So let's start from scratch here. What is PwC's workforce of the future? I'm already imagining, you know, some sort of virtual reality and some sort of techie thing, but really, what is it that you focus on in your work role?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's a great team to be a part of at the firm. So I'm fortunate enough to lead our team that's based here in Vancouver. We've got about 15 people here, over 100 people actually nationally. There's some cool stuff around how do we, you know, marry human and tech together. But ultimately what our practice does is it really focuses on helping our clients solve their biggest people challenges and opportunities. So whether that's supporting large-scale transformations to help manage through the change and adoption and behavior change associated with that, all the way through to org design, or, you know, making sure that we're integrating workforce strategies with your business strategy to drive success there. It's really all about people, which personally, I believe are the obviously the lifeblood of any organization and some of the most important things to consider during a lot of times of disruption.
Yeah, people are any organization's most important asset. Now, there's a couple of surveys that PwC does that really that data helps to drive some of these decisions. So we'll dig into those, I think, to start. First, maybe tell me what they are and how what they're looking at. You know, what are the different kinds of topics that are being surveyed?
Yeah, absolutely. We do a number of them, but globally, there's sort of two flagship ones that really support a lot of the work that we do with our clients in this space. The first is our global CEO survey, which we actually just launched our 2024 results for. It's approximately 4,700 CEOs across 105 territories and countries. Mm-hmm. And really what this one does is it provides a bit of a snapshot on the current CEO perspectives on things like, you know, economic, business and societal issues, really, really wide range of topics on things from growth prospects through to emerging risks, tech trends, talent management, sustainability and geopolitical challenges. And that couples really nicely with our Global Workforce Hopes and Fears survey, which we also do annually. Last year on this one, we had about 54,000 respondents globally, including 2,000 in Canada. And these are all respondents who are active in the workforce. And this survey really focuses on the hopes, fears, and expectations of the workforce. So it's a nice complement to the CEO narrative. And this particular one was actually designed around, you know, reinvention readiness. So in particular, some of the things around workforce skills and environment that would support that.
And I love that title, Hopes and Fears, yeah. Because really that sort of captures, I think, where the workforce is right now. It is such a time of transformative change in the workplace that really started at the probably with the pandemic. So maybe that's a good place to start. Like, what are employees saying about things at work now that we have the pandemic pretty fully in the rearview mirror?
Yeah, it's a great question. Ultimately, I think what we're seeing, right, is some of those things that we saw come out of the pandemic, that kind of the realizations that employees had around what was important to them, how they wanted to make sure that their life was balanced alongside their work priorities, focusing on meaningful work, meaningful connections, was really, really critical. And I think that that has stayed. I think there's also a balance, kind of to your point now that we've got that hopefully, you know, in the rear view mirror, hopefully. At least, to sort of say, okay, there's also a number of things that have happened since then that have perhaps brought some more disruption, right, into their lives, particularly things when we think about feeling pressure, you know, financially, feeling pressure from the perspective of a lot of, you know, managing heavy workloads, unsure of the skills that you might need for the future. A lot of the things that are coming from the changes that we're seeing so many businesses have to consider to their overall business model. And that, I think, is probably the balance, you know, to what we saw during the pandemic as opposed to what we're seeing a little bit more of now.
Maybe this is a bit of an unfair question because there has been so much change, but is it really seemed to accelerated a lot of the feelings that the workforce is having right now because technology is moving so quickly?
Yeah. I mean, I think the reality is, and we've seen this in the CEO survey, we have a stat that's come out from the most recent one this year, that's actually gone up about 5% from last year. So 45% of the CEOs surveyed are saying that the business model that they see today, you know, they're worried that it's not going to be fit for the future in 10 years. And they're going to have
wow.
to make
okay.
changes.
I have to stop you there. That's nearly half of the people who are surveyed. These are executives who are saying they don't think their business model is going to survive.
Yeah. And
wow.
They're going to have to make some really significant changes. And it's a really fascinating stat to dig into. And it's why a lot of the focus that we've had has been on, you know, the extent to which organizations and the people within them are ready for reinvention. And if you counterbalance that actually with what we saw in the global hopes and fears last year, really what we're seeing is globally about 33% of employees would say that their company would survive for the next 10 years without transformation, and 22% of Canadian employees. So there's a difference, there's a disconnect there. And so I think what we're seeing is that sense of continued transformation and continued change it's only going to continue. It's only going to accelerate.
And does this apply to the whole business model or just particularly a few areas like technology?
It's a good question. There's so many disruptive forces, I think, right now, that ultimately you can see it impacting any number of organizations, right? When you think of a change in your competitor landscape, a change in your business strategy, a change in how you reach out to your customers, a change in what your employees are expecting. You know, there's changes all across the board, you know, kind of hammering at all sides of an organization.
That is so incredibly disruptive for both the executives who are running the business, but for the employees as well. And thinking back over this series, Future of the Workplace and Mental Health and Wellness, you know, one of the things we've heard over and over again that a key to any kind of successful strategy is really ensuring that there's trust, that employees trust their employer trusts their employees, and that building that culture of trust. So what are you seeing from your perspective around trust, number one, and number two, like how do you build trust in the workplace?
Mm-hmm. Ultimately, yeah, like the trust kind of really underpins a lot of this. It's things that, you know, employees need to be able to look upwards to their managers, to their leaders, to have faith that they're going to help them be able to see them through a lot of this transformation. And when you think about it, you know, a key enabler of any kind of workforce transformation is culture, and making sure that you've got the right culture in place to be able to drive change, respond to change, drive innovation, drive the business outcomes that you're looking for. And a lot of that does come down to the leadership within the organizations to build that trust and that level of transparency. And I think what I've certainly seen is any organization that's going through any kind of transformation, you often hear, you know, over-communicating is the key, making sure that, you know, leaders are well positioned to be transparent about what those changes are going to be. I think some of the challenge that we're seeing now is with that dialing up the pace of change and the level of uncertainty, it can feel uncomfortable because we're asking people to be very authentic and to be very transparent, including when they might not know all of the answers. And so really what that means is when you drive that down, taking a step back and thinking, do we have leaders at all levels of the organization that have the skills to be able to lead and sort of manage their teams through this? Do they have the skills to be able to do that? And ultimately, I think we're still seeing that a lot of managers and leaders are kind of promoted based on technical merits, which are incredibly important. But to take the time to really step back and look at what kinds of leadership skills are required, to go through this is important as well.
And that topic of trust is one that is so important, but also really tricky time right now. We've got some pretty big cracks in our democratic process, and I would say that globally, not necessarily in our country, but just, speaking from a broad perspective, we've got divisiveness that we haven't seen in a long time. We have a mistrust in media. And so, building trust in the workplace comes at a pretty precarious time when trust is a very rare commodity outside of the workplace. So, coming back to the leadership skills that are required, this is always seen as, I'm going to air quotes, soft skills. But I just think that's quite a bit of BS, frankly, because those are the skills that a leader needs to have to build the trust, to build a culture. But how do you really measure that? It's easy to measure whether a leader is growing the revenue in an organization, but how do you really quantify and then measure whether, trust and whether workplace culture is improving?
Great questions. And so I think maybe a couple of things. Maybe I can share a little bit around what we think some of those critical skills are, and that might help shed some light to listeners on what kinds of behaviors and skills to look out for or to really invest in. Coming back to the measurement point as well, having worked, with organizations around culture for a number of years now, I think one of the things that's quite interesting is culture can seem incredibly opaque at times, or sort of fluffy, right? Like you can feel it instantly when you're in an organization, but it's hard to kind of put your finger on, to your point, exactly what do you look at or what do you measure to be able to think like, are we going in a good direction? Are there areas that we need to focus in on? And what I tend to advise clients around and work with a lot of organizations around is breaking that down into the specific levers that you can sort of pull. So when you think about culture, it's comprised of a number of different things, right? You can think about how you're onboarded into an organization, the learning and development that you go through, things like your performance and reward packages and your appraisals, career opportunities, promotion and progression. All of those kinds of things are things that you really want to look at. Like, are they having the impact that you want and the result that you want? And when you add all those things up, you can kind of get a sense of where some of those hotspots might be from a culture perspective. But the leadership piece and the tone from the top is probably the most critical thing that sits across all of those levers.
And one of those really important tools of measurement is asking your employees what they
Exactly.
think, through an employee experience survey, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Going back to the thought of the kinds of pressures that employees are feeling right now and transformation through digital and through AI, all of that's really, I think, been very disruptive. How should companies prepare their workforce for the integration of AI and more automation? What kinds of things should be doing to build trust in that area and ensure that you're also building a workplace of the future?
Yeah. Well, I think maybe just to throw a couple of stats out there first
Yeah.
as well to start with this, because I think it's important to start with this. And this was a stat that surprised me a little bit. When we go back to some of the global hopes and fears, 31% of Canadian employees said that AI probably won't impact their job at all when we did the survey last year, and versus only 22% globally. I think those numbers will likely decrease as we go into the next year of surveys, but it's an important place to start because the first thing is really around, educating and sort of understanding what are these impacts going to be. And for me, this is a really significant call to action for employers and employees. So from an employee perspective, you want to take responsibility for your own development. You want to make sure that you're thinking about how you upskill yourself going into the future, staying on top of trends and things like that. But from an employer perspective, there's also an opportunity to really think about this in terms of the value proposition that you offer to your employees and how to prepare for things like this. It's one of the things, coming back to some of the topics around disruption and uncertainty, you know, not feeling sure about what kinds of skills you need to develop or what kinds of skills your organization might need in the future can be something that is uncomfortable. But at the same time, if employers are able to really look at that value proposition and think, how can I offer opportunities for my employees to upskill, that can be something that is very symbiotic, I think, in terms of its you know, benefits to employees as well as employers. Yeah.
And more organizations are taking an active role in that, becoming, you know, some organizations actually having their own sort of built-in university or built-in courses that they're offering, or partnering with an external organization to do that. And I mean, it not only speaks to building the workforce for the future, but it's a great retention tool.
Exactly.
Where are you seeing like some of the biggest successes in that? Is it, you know, bringing it in-house, or is it partnering, or is it, you know, sort of an ad hoc approach? What's really working?
Yeah, I think it is a blend, right? Like, I think some organizations are in a good position to be able to build things quickly in-house or get support to do that, to be able to drive things that are going to be bespoke and ingrained within their own strategy and sort of help contextualize a lot of that for employees. But equally, the reality is content is changing really fast and things are changing quickly, right? And so you want to be able to access sort of, you know, off the cuff learning or sort of on tap learning as well. So I would suggest for most companies, it's probably a blended approach depending on the resources that you have available.
And it really is a I think a lesson in being adaptive and being nimble to serve the needs of your employees, but also to make sure that you are preparing your workplace for the future, you know, being really mindful of that.
Yeah,
great learnings
exactly.
There. Maybe coming back full circle, because this series has really also been about mental health in the workplace and thinking about all of your survey results, talking about the pressures around financial instability and the workload and the rapid technological changes we've just talked about. What are some of the practices that companies should adopt to support and foster better mental health in the workplace?
Yeah. The first piece of advice is really, I think, to tackle this as intentionally as possible and to think about it as part of that overall value proposition, you know, that we talked about. I think ultimately there's probably three things that I would suggest, you know, as a place to start. The first is just to really take a look at, you know, where are your well-being practices at today? What do your employees need? What are they telling you that they need, right? Through things like employee surveys, et cetera. And where are their gaps to address? And the critical piece here is to look more broadly than obviously just physical well-being, to think about emotional, mental, financial, social well-being as well. The second is coming back to the pieces that we've discussed about around culture, right? So what this isn't is what I'm not suggesting here is like a laundry list of kind of benefits that are loosely tied together. This is about like intentional programs and benefits that are focused on fostering a culture and the values that highlight the importance of well-being. So they need to be tracked through some of those other culture levers that we talked about. And then the third, unsurprisingly, is also the role that leadership plays in any successful well-being strategy. So needing to understand that this is honestly probably a particularly challenging time for a lot of managers and leaders to be asked to, you know, help their teams through things that often could be completely outside of the workplace as well. And that can be a challenge. And so making sure that they've got the right support and guidance for that is critical. And yeah, like tactically, I think a couple of things to focus in on is just access to general, you know, better mental health resources. We're seeing a lot of that come through, you know, in a lot of different organizations. And also really watching the extent to which you promote like an always-on culture. It's difficult, you know, in the world that we operate in today, certainly, and all the devices that we have access to, but that's probably one of the things just to be sort of consistently sensitive to.
So, Carolyn, you have the benefit of wrapping up this series, and you know, maybe you get to bring it home for everybody, all the listeners who have been tuning in. So I'm going to ask you to bring out your crystal ball. You know, you work in this space, you've got a lot of perspectives, and you've got access to really great insights. So, you know, I was really, really struck by that survey result that showed that executives, nearly half of the executives, are quite worried about business models in the next 10 years. So let's put ourselves, you know, 5 years down that path. So halfway there. And, you know, what do you think, where do you think we're going to be? Do you think that, you know, these are some changes that are going to be embraced? What are you seeing?
I'm hopeful that they are, right? Like I think if we combine some of the trends that we're seeing and the reality that a lot of people can't predict the future, don't have a crystal ball, and are going to have to constantly be humble enough to react to changes and learn along the way and be transparent with their organizations around that. If you couple that with, I think, a lot of the learnings that we had coming out of the pandemic, right, around this really being a really big inflection point for humanity to kind of think about what's important. If you couple those two things together and think about the potential that that has for our organizations and where people work and how we can support each other through a lot of this time of change, yeah, I'm really optimistic. I think it's difficult for us to shake off the shackles that we might be used to in this and become comfortable with that level of change. It's never easy, and it's never easy to not feel like you're the complete expert in the room that knows everything about everything all the time. But yeah, I'm very optimistic that ultimately this is a good thing for us as humanity, not to
Well,
be
humanity
too
is
broad.
nothing but adaptable. And so, Carolyn, I love that. Ending on a note of optimism and positivity, and we just all have to embrace change. Thank you so much for taking time to talk to us.
Thank you.